Today's Bible reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approach. Amen.
Called Stephen Corey, you might know him. We were talking about some stuff, and he mentioned this passage, Hebrews 10, about the idea that we should not stop meeting together. So when he mentioned it, I went back to it just to have a look at the passage. And I've got to say, today we're going to do a Peter Jesus. Has anybody heard of a Peter Jesus? An exegesis is when you work through the text. A Peter Jesus is when Peter gives his opinion based on a text. Okay? I'm using this passage really as a jumping point, because as I began to look at it, it began to make me think about the churches of Christ and who we are. So I just want to begin by asking the question, what do you appreciate about being in the tradition of the churches of Christ? What is it about the churches of Christ, particularly those who kind of have a long history, what is it that you appreciate about our tradition? Communion? Yeah, so we're one of the few churches, Catholics and Church of Christ, almost the two extremes of churches, have communion every week. And the Bible actually says every time we meet together. So Catholics do it even more than us sometimes. What else do you like about the tradition that we come from? Baptism. Yep. So baptism, a physical act that symbolises our movement towards God. What else do you like? Independence, yeah. And we're going to talk about that a bit more next week. But the idea that every Church of Christ is independent of every other denomination. We might work together, but we are all independently led by, and we can make our own decisions, good or bad. What else do you like about our tradition? Not a lot of paraphernalia. I don't have to dress up in an outfit and collars and all. Although those outfits are quite handy because you can wear whatever you like underneath, even if you've got a dirty shirt. I've seen priests take them off and they've got grubby pants and grubby t-shirt, but because they can put it all on top, it covers it all over. So that can be quite helpful. Yeah, but we don't do all that paraphernalia. Anything else? The genuine. Yep. Just the people and the genuine nature. Yeah. Stephen. Sense of fellowship. Yep, John. One creed, but the Bible, we're going to come to that in a little while, yeah. Anything else? Yeah, priesthood of all believers, yeah. Yep, all get to have a say. I mean, we technically, when we make a decision, it's a democracy in the sense of, it's not a democracy in the sense of us voting to decide what's right. It's meant to be a democracy in the sense of we hear God as a community, and we seek to follow God as a community, not one particular person. So there are lots of things that come up out of the tradition of the Church of Christ. Now, anybody notice something up there that might irritate you as kind of a grammatical mistake? No capital C. We don't believe in capital C's. So whenever we talk about the churches of Christ, we actually always use little c, because we don't believe we are the church of Christ. We believe we belong to a tradition or a movement of the churches of Christ. I don't know if you've ever picked that up before. So we would say all people of Baptist and Church of Christ and all the traditional denominations are all part of the Church of Christ, and we belong as a church within the churches of Christ. You changed it to a capital. I wondered if that might actually happen, but I didn't want to say and steal my thunder. So we believe we're a tradition, and we often talk about us as a tradition or a movement rather than a denomination. We believe God's church is the universal church, and we as a congregation are one of the churches of Christ across the world. Now, we might have closer alignment with those other churches called Church of Christ, or in America, Disciples of Christ. But we believe we are just like every other Christian, gathering together to worship God. And that says something. It's actually why we often are not really into, what's the movement where all the churches come together? I've just forgotten the name. Ecumenical movement. Because we would say we are all churches of Christ that simply need to work together and not join as some organisation. So I think that's a beautiful thing about the churches of Christ. So let me begin my Peter Jesus by having a look at this passage from Hebrews and just saying what it reminds me about the Church of Christ. So it begins in Hebrews, it says, therefore. Whenever you see a therefore, it means something was said beforehand that we're now going to apply. The Bible often does theology and then does application. Read it all the way through. Every time you see a therefore, there's normally some teaching that then says, and therefore, because of that teaching, we need to apply it in some way in our lives. So I think it says, therefore means application follows theology. Theology is the study of God. It's some big word we often use for kind of dictionary ideas, but theology just means the study of who God is. And that relationship precedes anything else. We don't call people into doctrine. We don't call people even into obedience. We call people into relationship with God, believing that relationship sorts out all the other things. Who knows that when you've got somebody who absolutely loves you unconditionally, you desire to please them. But when somebody calls you to do something, you often rebel against them. Even the people you love, they ask you to do something, you go, oh, why don't you do it? You know, there's this rebellion that comes in. But when we know somebody loves us, irrespective of anything else that's happening, that calls us to love them and to obey them. And so in the Church of Christ, we believe relationship is primary before anything else. Thanks, Joe. You want to keep me on track, don't you? There's a bit of wind happening up here. So we believe, and I would say for all of us in here, that is a constant tension that we struggle with. We all need to constantly remind ourselves and each other, first relationship, then obedience. Let's get the order right. Therefore also means the Word of God provides the believer with direct revelation of God. She says theology leads to obedience, and every one of us gets to go to the Word of God to hear from God individually and then to obey it. We don't need somebody else who stands between us and God. That therefore means we all need to get into the Scriptures. We can't leave it up to somebody else to sort out the Scriptures for us. Just quoting one of those verses that was quoted before. We say we have no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible, no law but love, no name but the divine. These are just some of the slogans that came out of the movement that became known as Churches of Christ. No book but the Bible. So we would say the creeds are okay, but they're not definitive. They don't define what you believe. You must first go to the Bible. The historical creeds can be useful to review and look at, but they don't define what every believer comes to understand as the truth of God. Each one of us. Now, during the Reformation movement, one of the things the Catholics said about the Reformation movement is said, the Reformation movement said, you have one Pope who stands before you and the people and God. And they said, well, every man has become a Pope, in the sense of every man gets to decide the understanding of the Bible on their own personal opinion. And in that sense, they were right. And there is a danger in that every one of us gets to come to the Bible and understand the Bible. And one of the things we've been talking about in our Bible studies lately is the Bible is normally written to a community. The Bible should really be understood as a community rather than as an individual. But each of us have a personal ability to go to the Bible and hear the direct revelation of God. We say where the scriptures speak, we speak. Where the scriptures are silent, we are silent. That basically means we should be silent more often than we are. Okay? There are lots of things we have opinions about, but there are many things that are debatable. My understanding of how to interpret the Bible is this. Where the Bible says one thing from beginning to end, you have a principle. Where the Bible has different opinions throughout the Bible, you can have different opinions. And there are very few things in the Bible that have one opinion on a topic all the way from the beginning to the end. They are the things that are absolutes. Everything else we can talk about. Now, you've got to come with a good conscience as you understand Scripture. You need to come with good understanding. You've got to work it through. But every one of us should allow other people to hold contrary opinions about many things. We say in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. Even when we disagree, we need to do it with charity and with love. Now, of course, we debate what the essentials are. You know, there is still quite a bit of debate. I would say 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 3 is my understanding of the essentials. It's one of the earliest parts of the Bible written by Paul. And he says there, you know, Jesus died for our sins. He died and he rose to life. To me, that's the essentials of the faith. But we each need to come to that understanding ourselves. Therefore also means every one of us is responsible for going to the Word of God. It is not my role to tell you what the truth is. My role is I get to spend more time in the Bible, and maybe I've got a gift in that. But you have to go back and check and test to see if what I say is actually lining up with what the scriptures are saying. And that requires you to have a good understanding of the Bible. I would say there is a Bible reading plan out there. It's this one here from Navigators. 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. That shouldn't be too hard if you're really seriously following Jesus to read the Bible 5 minutes a day, and you can get through the whole New Testament in a year. Not hard to do. Actually, if you read the Bible out loud, word after word, it takes you about 72 hours to read it, the whole Bible. So when you put it that perspective, it's actually not as big a book as some people make out to be. But some people might want to just read through the New Testament each year, or the New Testament and the Old Testament. But there's some Bible reading plans. Or you can go to YouVersion and you can listen to the Bible. Not everybody sees the Bible by writing it. Maybe they need to listen to it. So often what I do when I go for my walk in the morning is I listen to the Bible, because I understand the Bible quite differently when I hear it than when I read it. And there are lots of different versions of the Bible to get in. Doesn't mean you should do it every day. No, that's a rule. That's a regulation. Should you do it most days? I think it's kind of like vegetables. You might not like it all the time, but you probably should have it regularly for your own health. It's a really, really good idea to have a regular diet of the Bible. Then the passage carries on, brothers and sisters, and a little bit later on talks about the great priest. Kind of what Beth was saying, you know, brothers and sisters means every Christian is equal before God. And in the Church of Christ, we take that to mean male or female, young or old, you know, Jew or Gentile, whatever your background is, we stand equally before God. And there is nobody with a dog collar or nobody with a qualification who stands closer to God than you. That's why communion, most of the time, is led by what we call people call a lay person. You know, the non-pastor. I don't like laity as a term anyway. But it's a sense of the most important thing we do, the Lord's Supper, is led by somebody who's not the pastor. Because we're saying we all equally stand before God. People get really radical these days. They say, you know, we're all equal and it's a new thing and the Bible's always argued against it. They don't understand that from the beginning of Genesis, but particularly from the time of Jesus, Jesus was a person for equal rights. Where women were downtrodden, he lifted them up. Where the poor were downtrodden, he lifted them up. He constantly lifts up people. And he pulls down the rich and the powerful and he lifts up the poor. And he says, we are all equal before God. And in the Church of Christ, we take that very, very seriously, particularly as we talk about the priesthood of all believers. I might have mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but the word priest simply means somebody who stands between God and the people. A priest is somebody who brings a sacrifice. Jesus is the high priest, the one who ultimately stands between us and the Father, but he has given to every Christian the ability to be a priest to the world. You don't need to have a dog collar, you don't have a qualification. As a Christian, you are a priest in the sense that you stand between the world and God. You stand in the gap, like Ezekiel says. Ezekiel says, who will stand in the gap for me? And we say in the Church of Christ, we will all stand in the gap. We all pray for the world. We all reach the world. We all talk to the world. We all believe that God has given us something special to share with others. And so in that sense, we are a priest. And our church is made of the priesthood of all believers. And then it carries on to talk about, there's lots in here, but the bit I want to pick out is, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. The most holy place was that part of the temple that the priest, the high priest of the day, could only go into once a year, and he took a sacrifice in. That was the guy, remember, who lost his voice in Luke. Whereas I've just forgotten his name, Zechariah? I've forgotten who it was. But he lost his voice because he went into the Holy of Holies and he met an angel there. One person got to do it one time a year and he went in there. But the Bible says in the New Testament that the curtain was ripped from top to bottom. That curtain that separated us from the most holy place was destroyed by Jesus on the cross, at the moment of Jesus on the cross. And we enter into that most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Every person. And so that means that we enter, and everyone who accepts the acts of Jesus enters into the kingdom. Everyone. Doesn't matter who you are. Everyone who accepts the acts of Jesus gets to enter in. Whether you're rich or poor, wherever you're from, all you have to do is accept the acts of Jesus. And a little bit later on it says, having our body washed. And this is maybe one of the more unique things about the Churches of Christ, is we believe that the body washed means believer's baptism. Now let me give you a couple of photos. This first one is Paula. We baptised her in a river in Christchurch. So you can baptise people anywhere. I baptised my mum and dad in a spa bath in their backyard. You know, this middle lady. This is us working at the Uniting Church. The interesting thing is, every denomination accepts full immersion baptism. Catholics accept it. Baptists accept it, obviously. Uniting Church. Every one of them accept full immersion baptism. They also sometimes accept other things as well, but the only way of baptism that all the churches accept is full immersion baptism, especially the Eastern Orthodox Church. It's the way that they baptise, because they understand the word baptismo means to go under, under the water. You're baptized by placing under the water. This middle lady is one of my elders in the Uniting Church. This is my daughter getting baptized at Clovelly Beach. So it doesn't matter how young or old you are. It doesn't matter if you are in the ocean, in a pool, in a baptistry, wherever. Sometimes get baptized by me, sometimes get baptized by anybody else. See, this is one of the other things. Anybody leaves communion, anybody can baptize anybody. Because it's not that often people come to me because I happen to represent the church, but I always say to them, who else would you like there? And I just couldn't put up all the filing. We baptized about 30 or 40 people in the Uniting Church up in Bondi Junction. Even though the Uniting Church doesn't teach that as their normal teaching, when you talk what the Bible says about baptism, people are amazingly open to what the Bible says. I remember getting to Bible college and Liz Ha said to me, when were you baptized? I said, as a baby. She went, here you go. Look, what did the Bible say? You know? And she just showed me what the Bible said. And I went, okay, and I got baptized when I was at Bible college in the Wollongong Church in the corner there. Because a person who's open to God simply does what God asks you to do. Now, there is a study that I put out there. There's one mistake in it. See if you can find the mistake in it. But it's just a study on baptism. We've got a guy who comes to our Bible study on Tuesday. He was, you know, really open to the gospel, and he's talking about baptism now because he understands that is the normal way where somebody responds. Is it the only way? Does it mean somebody who hasn't been believers baptized isn't a Christian? No, that doesn't mean that at all. But it just means that's the normal way. And it's the way that Jesus asked us to do. And we should normally do the things that Jesus asks us to do if our heart is right. Next week, I put the link for Simply Churches of Christ in the newsletter this week. I'd encourage you to go and have a read of that at some point. Not everybody in the Church of Christ agrees with everything in that little booklet. Because we're Church of Christ, we all get to have our own opinions. That is not a theology statement. It's simply one person's understanding of the movement in which we're in. And we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about communion and some other things next week. Just understanding what it is in the movement that we're a part of. So it begins with a relationship. It goes through the Bible. It says we are all equal before God. Baptism is our normal way of through. And anybody who accepts the acts of Jesus gets to come into the kingdom of God. Let us pray together. Lord, I thank you that there are people in this room who have followed you faithfully for a long, long time. Thank you for their faithfulness. There are possibly people in this room who are coming to a new understanding of you and need to come into a new obedience to you. Lord, I pray for the movement in their heart. Lord, not being manipulated or convinced, but simply hearing your word. And I pray that all of us would have a love for your word, to go into it on a regular basis, to hear from you. So that as a body, a Church of Christ, we might stand in the gap for our community. That our community might know the love and the grace and the care of Jesus because of the way in which we live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.